early signing day 2024 has concluded. Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman brings in 23 recruits for his second official full recruiting class. I'm Tim O'Malley with Irish Illustrated with Tim Priester and John Bryce. And Tim, 15 guys enrolling early, zero decommits among seniors. And I think that was a talking point Marcus Freeman definitely wanted out there this season.
Well, yeah, an uneventful signing day, that's for sure. Zero decommitments is something that we aren't necessarily accustomed to. But the one thing we do know is that the leader of this group, and I don't think anybody's surprised about that, at least at this moment, there are other leaders certainly in this class, but C.J. Carr and you know, Marcus Freeman talked about, you know, how from the very beginning, you know, we all knew, the whole nation knew that C.J. Carr wanted to be at Notre Dame, and he never wavered on that we're aware of, at least publicly, and certainly that's the kind of guy that you want at the top of the class.
He committed first, he showed up first, but he's not going to play first because I think he's going to have to wait his turn. Now there's a list of guys that are going to play, but I think we asked you about a week ago, you know, who's going to be your top five of your class. You go, I don't know my top five right now, but I might know my number one. Yeah. I wanted to bring that back to you now that we're here on signing day.
Yeah, KVA, and we heard it today from Marcus Freeman saying he's the most physically ready player in this class, and he's the most mentally ready player in this class, shouting out, of course, his Bosco Prep roots out in California. But the guy just looks so impressive. Again, as I continue to talk to people in the program, as I talk to high school coaches and other people around the country, they all identify him as a day one player at Notre Dame. And that's with Kaiser coming back. That's with some other skilled players coming back in that position grouping. But they expect him to be in the mix. They expect him to be a special teams force. And again, I can't stress enough, C.J. Carr was huge. He's the ringleader of this class. Your quarterback is always going to be that guy that has a chance to sort of be the torchbearer for what you want to do in a signing class. But I just had so many people reiterate to me the impact, the resonant impact of KVA and what his commitment means and how they beat out USC when USC was still hot, how they beat out Ohio State when Ohio State was still hot to get him. And it's a game changer for Notre Dame. Perception-wise, I expect him to be a game changer for Notre Dame on the field.
Just as they have each of the last three cycles, Tim, wide receivers have a chance to play at Notre Dame, and these guys are going to rotate in. They brought in four last year, unbeknownst to them, with Jordan Faison. They now have three more this season. Cam Williams leads the group. We've heard a lot of good things about Micah Gilbert, and you love Logan Saldate. Just a little bit on that trio, because that's six guys, sophomore and under, all will rotate next season.
Yeah, no doubt. And this, you know, the wide receivers room certainly has changed dramatically when you throw in, you know, Mitchell and Collins and maybe Banks, you know, down the road here. But yeah, those two guys, I mean, especially Williams and Gilbert are the guys that are going to be at the front of the pack and really challenge some of the older guys and even the younger guys for an opportunity.
There's not a lot of older
guys to challenge. No, there really aren't. And, you know, we were talking about ringleaders. I want to go back to the running backs because essentially Marcus Freeman said that Kedron Young and Aeneas Williams were leaders as well. They chose Notre Dame. They were steadfast in their decision. Man, another really, really talented room for Notre Dame. But, I mean, when you're talking about ringleaders of this class, certainly those two guys are as well.
I love Kedron Young. I think I had him fifth or sixth on my list. Everybody knows if you follow Irish Illustrated that I like Aeneas Williams. And I would like to point out before I hurt my arm patting myself on the back that when Marcus Freeman said we brought him in live and he was the best player at our camp, I think I was at that camp as well. Now, that was actually the C.J. Carr camp, but it was a different camp. It's a great tandem, and the good news is, I mean, they are going to push Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price and Jabran Payne. They're varied backs. They brought in two different backs this time, and the exact type of modern back you need in both cases.
And this is what this continues to be evidence of, and that is Dylan McCullough is really good, and he has a system, and he preaches it to guys, he sells it to guys, and then he implements that system. So those guys this year, as other teams tried to recruit them, they saw that, yeah, Dylan McCullough literally developed Audric Estime into an All-American back, but there were still roles for Price. There was still a role for Love. There was still a spot for Jabran Payne. Devin Ford didn't get a lot of touches, but they found a way to get him a touchdown to do some other things. Quick note on Dylan that I think is fascinating. I believe now 12 of the last 15 years, he's helped develop a 1,000-yard rusher. One of the other times Kansas City won the Super Bowl and Damian Williams got hurt late in the season or would have been a 1,000-yard rusher. And I'll cheat a little bit here and tell you I expect Dylan McCullough emphatically to be one of the finalists for the Football Scoop Running Backs Coach of the Year.
We're going to stay on the offensive side before we flip the script and go to the Bryce Young area of defense. But Kirby Lambert is the guy you see where, hey, as bowl practices begin in 2024 of December, maybe Kirby Lambert is involved in this, like Charles Jagasa is this time around. As I said, Mike McGlinchey once told me we're all tackles. when they recruit us. Then we become, a lot of people become guards. Gerby Lambert looks like a tackle.
Yeah, they got other guards, but Gerby Lambert is a tackle. And I got to tell you, I tried everything I could to stick with him as my number one player. Ultimately, Billy Amoasa was just too good, and the culture that he comes from. And again, I keep using the word steadfast, but how steadfast he was in remaining with Notre Dame through obviously some heavy recruiting. But Gerby Lambert, I think, has all the tools as an offensive lineman. He has size, strength, quickness, natural aggression. Mm-hmm. I love him as a football player. We're giving away a little bit our rankings, but I had Gerby Lambert just behind KVA. I think those are two special players.
Flipping sides of scrimmage, I think Bryce Young was the biggest riser, and they became the biggest, one of the bigger names. Defensive line recruiting, like, I don't know where Young's going to end up. And that's what I found so interesting when we were trying to do these recruiting classes. If you're gaining that much weight and keeping that much speed in a year from when you went from low three-star that nobody really wanted to where he is now, what happens when he continues to gain weight and his frame continues to blow up? Because he might be able to help inside as well.
He's another guy that I think has a chance to play year one. And that's both because of, you know, what the depth is at Notre Dame and how talented
strong side end depth.
Exactly. And how talented he has proved to be. We know the football genetics are there. We know that he's continued to blow up. We know he's going to continue to work hard, and he's only going to continue to benefit from being at Notre Dame and having the stability and having some guys around him that are older that can set an example again. We've talked about it, but I think this ties into recruiting. What these guys up front, like a Young, is going to do benefiting from being around Howard Cross and Riley Mills, I don't think that can be a discounted element of their recruitment and their upcoming development.
How does Bryce Young not play early on?
Yeah, I mean, the chart lines up for him in that spot.
I just think physically, whether he and you make a good point, he could develop into a.
Yeah, I don't mean a freshman here.
He could develop into a three technique, and he'd be a monster to deal with. But the frame, I think he was listed at 6'5". I think Notre Dame listed him at 6'5.5". BY, his dad tells me, absolutely, he's 6'6", and that was actually months ago. I think that's just a natural coming off the edge. They need strong side ends. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you keep him off the field early on.
And I want to cheat a little bit and ask you guys a question because you have so much more depth of knowledge than me. You're sitting here sort of debating who might be the number one player in the class.
Yeah.
How much does that speak to the depth of this Notre Dame recruiting class, and maybe how different is that from some years past?
Yeah, I think last year still has my record. When I say I like this many guys, it's me. I players below that become very good. I didn't have J.D. Bertrand and who I liked back in 2019. Yeah. I was wrong. Kyren Williams was the cutoff of who I liked. Obviously, he's higher than that. I had 17 last year. I had 16 this year. Where I just said I like. I think I don't see the downside here. Or even if they're projects, I see the upside of the project. It's a deep class in that regard. There are, however, I think I said this to Priester prior to this press conference. There's more projects possibly in this class than there usually are. It's just projects and prospects you think have extremely high upside.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the bottom 10 are projects, but again, you love a Mullins. We rated Knapp all over the place. I think Knapp has a ton of ability. Urlacher, Marcus Freeman talked about the sons of NFL players, Young and Urlacher, and he found it interesting. I find it interesting too that, you know, those guys have a tendency to ask a little bit more about academics and Notre Dame and what it has to offer because they've gone through it. They understand that an NFL career can be brief. Now, Bryant Young's wasn't by any means. I don't know how many years Urlacher played, but his wasn't brief either. But those guys are, those are Hall of Fame football players. They don't know whether their sons are going to be Hall of Famers. And that, I think that's a great selling point in the future. Jordan Clark, the son of Ryan Clark, one of the transfers in. I don't know how many players are out there that Notre Dame can recruit that are sons of Hall of Famers, let alone, you know, NFL players or NFL players, let alone Hall of Famers. But it's a good selling point and one that will attract other high-profile guys to Notre Dame.
We're able to inundate you with our readers with reviews of all these players coming up. So I wanted to end on a big picture note. Marcus Freeman did mention star ratings. He also mentioned that they, for the first time, have been able to see and scout every player in person before offering him, which I think, now obviously they saw and scouted them after they offered in other cases, but this is the first time they've been able to do that in person. Look, you guys see more recruits than I do. Tom Loy sees way more than I do live, but my experience at Irish Invasion is a reason why I am very high on a few of these recruits, and high on a few that got away, too. I think it's a very big deal that they were able to offer all of these guys after seeing them live.
And I would tie into that and wrap up my point as we heard Marcus Freeman say, because we asked him if this is the roadmap for the future, and he said this is absolutely the map for the future. This is the recruiting class. He had a true runway, the entire runway, to help recruit, build, and develop. He talked about remembering the very first commitment from C.J. Carr sitting out on the patio there outside of Marcus's office atop the Goog. I think all of those things are factors. And again, another element he talked about, how many different people touch or impact these guys on their recruits, from Katie Lonergan to Chad Bowden to so many different people. It's so deep. So when there is a one position coach change or something happens, there's so many relationships there to strengthen. And I think that's one of the lasting things for me in this class.
Yeah, you know, I have studied over the last four decades. I mean, how many hours of tape?
Do you fall in love with the guys you see live sometimes? Do you think, that's better than I thought, when you used to go to Chicago and those things?
Well, yeah, but, I've spent more time doing tape. And my point is, I can study that all I want. And I think I have a pretty good idea of who's good and who isn't. But you don't get the full picture until you spend time in front of the players themselves. So, it's a great blueprint for the future. It's a great blueprint for now, the present. Great blueprint for the future. And I can vouch for that. You have to see a player in person. And then, of course, the interaction that they have with them, that completes the picture for the Notre Dame staff.
This is the first of two incident analysis we're about to do, because there was a lot more from Marcus Freeman's 45-minute press conference today. But you can join Tim Priester, Tom Loy, and Kevin Sinclair at Irish Illustrated Insider for more recruiting, a full recruiting podcast tomorrow at irishillustrated.com.